From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. Islamic State defenders in Fallujah launched a counterattack in the southern part of the western Iraqi city, reportedly blunting an assault to retake Fallujah, captured by IS fighters 2.5 years ago. Iraq's counterterrorism service has been joined by regular army units, Sunni tribesmen, and Shia militia, backed by airstrikes in the offensive launched early this week. The fierce fight has raised the alarm among international and humanitarian groups about the fate of an estimated 50,000 civilians trapped inside. Lisa Grand is the deputy special representative of the UN Assistance Mission for Iraq.
Families that are still stuck in Fallujah right now, they are at extreme, grave risk from artillery and from crossfire. We also are receiving very credible reports that families are being concentrated and forced into the center of the city by Daesh, and they're not allowed to leave these concentration points. And that would suggest that Daesh could be using them or may intend to use them as some kind of a human shield.
Capture of Fallujah is seen as crucial in defeating the IS group in Iraq and restoring security to Iraq's capital, Baghdad, a frequent target of suicide attacks and car bombings. The leader of Western Sahara's Polisario Front independence movement, Mohamed Abdelaziz, has died after more than 3 decades of struggle with Morocco over the future of the former Spanish territory. He was said to be in his late 60s and reportedly suffered from a long-standing illness. The Algerian government declared a week of mourning. Abdelaziz's death comes as Morocco, which annexed the territory after the Spanish left in 1975, expelled UN peacekeepers, following a reference by UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to Rabat's occupation of Western Sahara. Abdelaziz launched an armed struggle against Morocco. This is VOA News. The UN Refugee Agency Tuesday said more than 2,500 people have died trying to make the dangerous crossing from North Africa to Europe so far this year. That's about 600 more than the same pace last year at this time. Nearly 900 perished just in the past week in often unseaworthy vessels operated by smugglers out of Libya. UNHCR spokesman William Spindler said UN authorities are trying to better understand reasons behind the dramatic uptick in the migration.
According to survivors, smuggler hubs operating in locations including Niger remain active in feeding people from West Africa through to Libya, where many remain for many months before being put onto boats for the crossing to Europe.
More than 200,000 made it to Europe escaping poverty and war in Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia since January. That's more than double the number who made the attempt during the same period in 2015. In Syria, the Observatory of Human Rights says at least 23 people, including 7 children, were killed by airstrikes late Monday in rebel-held Idlib. The Britain-based rights group said Russian planes carried out the strikes, although Moscow denies it. The observatory said the strikes hit several targets, including one near a hospital. It says the death toll could rise with a number of critically wounded. Meanwhile, a multinational effort in concert with the World Food Program to airdrop food and medicine to thousands of Syrians and besieged communities begins in earnest Wednesday. John Kirby is a U.S. spokesman.
The humanitarian assistance is still not flowing satisfactorily. We're still seeing obstructions put up by the regime to the delivery of food and water and medicine and supplies. And so I think it's safe to assume that come tomorrow, the ISSG will start preparing for the necessity of airdrops and air bridges. We would expect the regime to facilitate or not interfere with those steps.
The airdrops was a plan announced last month by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry, a meeting of the International Syria Support Group, and involves 13 designated areas where government and rebel forces block land deliveries. The World Health Organization has urged sexually active people returning from areas where the Zika virus is prevalent to practice abstinence or safe sex protocols for at least 8 weeks. Christian Lindmeyer is a WHO spokesman.
People should practice safer sex or abstain for at least 8 weeks if they are returning from Zika-affected areas and don't present Zika disease symptoms. So these are for asymptomatic people, at least 8 weeks. This goes for men and women. And the previous recommendation suggested a period of at least 4 weeks. So this we're upping from at least 4 weeks to at least 8 weeks.
The virus first detected in Brazil has also been linked to birth defects. Egypt's foreign ministry says it's investigating alleged racist remarks by its ambassador to Kenya. Kenyan diplomat Ivan Kamati accused the unnamed Egyptian diplomat of referring to Africans as dogs and slaves during a meeting in Cairo. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.